Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, it's a big day in Ottawa. A private member's bill is being heard there for the first time today, Bill C-206. We'll hear from a couple of organizations who are interested in seeing this bill pass. It's an act to amend the Greenhouse Gas Pollution Pricing Act. We'll hear from the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association President, Gunter Yochum, as well as the CFIB's Vice President of Agribusiness, Marilyn Braun-Polin, who are both strongly in favor of this private member's bill. A study has been done on applying high rates of nitrogen to blackstrap dry beans. East Central Research Foundation Research Coordinator Mike Hall will tell us about that. Canada's Ag Day will be held tomorrow with a variety of virtual events across the country. We'll catch up with Clinton Monchuk from Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan. And the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association is gearing up for its first ever online auction. We'll hear from Kelsey Elford, who is the president of that organization. All that and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, we're having some mild temperatures today.
Yeah, it was not long ago we were talking about a whole different weather pattern. We were stuck in that rut for a while, and now snapped out of it and just like a springboard out of it. Temperatures above freezing this afternoon. We're going to hit freezing again a few more times this week. Could crack it a few more times. Likely by the end of the week we're dropping back. But overall, pretty decent stretch of days. There is some cloud cover working in. We've likely hit our peak for the day. We may see some areas that get another degree or so, but for the most part, we're going to be level or very slowly falling off through the afternoon. A gusty breeze setting up. We've seen that up to 30 to 40 kilometers per hour. Could get up as high as 50 for a while during the middle part of the afternoon. Wind chill, not really a big factor with positive numbers. You'll certainly feel a bit cold when that wind gets to 50 and smacks you, but still better than when it's minus 30 and that wind smacks you. Temperature again for holding pretty steady, slowly falling down to minus 7 tonight, partly cloudy, and that's still well above normal, a good 10 degrees above normal, both high and low. The wind will drop back tonight through the evening. It stays up a bit, and then after about 9, 10 o'clock, it really comes down 15 to 25, even lighter toward morning. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy sky. We'll be around zero for the afternoon. We drop back to minus 9 for Tuesday night. And the air mass in place on Wednesday is a little bit cooler, maybe a little overly optimistic at minus 3. But warm air is going to be sitting just to our south. And I think enough of it rides in to get some of us there. There's going to be a wide range, though, from north to south across the region. Likely we're close to freezing, even above it, south of the Trans-Canada, and then a good 10, 12 degrees on the negative side, not too far north of Yorkton. So we're going to be somewhere in that range. I hate to be overly vague, but at the very least, we're not brutally cold. We're not brutally windy. We're just somewhere close to average on Wednesday. Flurries that come through later Tuesday night to early Wednesday, not amounting to much. They'll be around, they'll move out. Even this afternoon, by the way, worth noting, there could be a flurry in the air. it'll move out. No impact from that. Clearing out to partial sun on Thursday. Next push of warm air comes in. It's sitting to the south on Wednesday. It makes a strong surge. Temperatures likely come up Wednesday night and into Thursday. We're back above freezing near 2 degrees. And on Friday, colder air comes in a little more sharply. This one looks to last through the weekend as we drop from an early high of -1 on Friday. Some light snow and flurries will come in for the afternoon. Temperature falls to around -12 by the end of the day.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at +2 degrees. Swan River, Shoal Lake, Russell, and Roblin all at +3. Dauphin and Brandon, +4. Regina, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, +3. Hudson Bay, +4. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, +2. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly cloudy sky, a west-northwest wind at 26, gusting to 39 kilometers an hour. 71% is the relative humidity. The temperature is +4 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of +2 degrees and dropped to a low of -18 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is -6, the normal low -17. The sun rose in Yorkton at 7:49 this morning, and it will set at 6:17 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hot spot was McCreary, which got up to +6. The cold spot, Clear Lake, at -22. The Saskatchewan hot spot yesterday was Loon Lake at +8 degrees. The cold spot, Uranium City, at -25 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association is offering its support for Bill C-206, an act to amend the Greenhouse Gas Pollution Pricing Act, sponsored by Philip Lawrence, an Ontario MP. President Gunter Yochum says it needs to pass in order to improve the bottom line for farmers.
To basically do away with the carbon tax on any fuel used in drying costs. Ideally, we would like to see no carbon tax on any inputs or anything to do with farming operations, but our government is clearly not listening to us at all. So, but as far as drying costs are concerned, I mean, it's a huge problem. We have no alternative source of fuel or alternative way to dry our grain. So it's only a logical step to exclude fuels used in grain drying. And, you know, this is very, you know, from farm to farm it's different, but they're around $10,000 in just the carbon tax on grain drying in years where lots of grain drying needs to be done. Like, that's a huge chunk of change. Not only that, CFIB did a study, and their estimates were that farmers, in the first year that the carbon tax came in, it was almost $14,000 for the average farmer. $14,000 in carbon tax on farming operations. And that was the first year. Well, the carbon tax is set to increase, over 460% over the next 10 years. So that would turn that $14,000 into about $65,000 per farm. That's a huge chunk of change. I don't know, farmers can't take that kind of a hit.
So is this a private member's bill?
Yes, it is a private member's bill. It's sponsored by Philip Lawrence. He's the MP for Northumberland, Peterborough South. And so he's an Ontario MP. And Ontario farmers, they grow a lot of corn, and they're having to dry most of that corn every year. But out west here, I mean, 2 years ago, we had that awful harvest from hell, and lots of prairie grain had to be dried, and we were faced with those exact same costs.
When is this bill being brought forward?
I believe it comes up for debate actually today. That's right. Today, February 22nd. So we'll see where it goes. And, you know, CFIB had pushed to sign on to this. Of course, we had pushed as well. And it comes up in the House today. And hopefully it will get go the right way.
Are you worried it could die on the order table if there's a federal election call soon?
Well, of course, that is always the problem. You know, a lot of bills have died, especially important bills that have come up over the years, and then an election is called and it will die on the table. But, you know, if we don't try now, if we don't try, then we won't have anything at all. So there's nothing wrong with putting this forward right now. Table it, debate it, and hopefully it will go places.
And is there anything you would like to add?
You know, again, this carbon tax is really one more nail in the coffin for Canadian agriculture. I mean, agriculture plays a key role in the economic recovery for Canada here. And right, for that, we need the right policy environment. The carbon tax is the wrong policy, right? You could say that the carbon tax is actually a rural or a small town depopulation measure, right? It helps people in the big cities. But for us farmers and people living in rural towns, everything we do is impacted by the carbon tax. We have no alternative way to transport our goods. Heck, we don't have public transport to go to the town or to go from a small town to the city, right? So the carbon tax is really, really impacting us severely, and we don't have public transport. The carbon tax is geared towards city living, and us rural folks, we don't live in a city. So it's a wrong policy, it's a bad policy, it's an economic nightmare.
Gunter Yoakum is the president of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association. It's now 12:30 on GX on Agriculture, and it's time for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX 94, AgriView.
The head of an Alberta pork producers group says farmers are on pins and needles waiting to find out when Olymel's Central Alberta plant will reopen. Olymel indefinitely closed the hog slaughtering, cutting, and deboning operation in Red Deer last Monday due to a COVID-19 outbreak that has infected hundreds of workers. Alberta Pork Executive Director Darcy Fitzgerald says other Canadian plants are mostly full, and it can cost $8,000 a truckload for farmers to ship hogs to the United States.
The further away they go, the more it costs. So I'm sure wherever they're being sold now, they're not making any money. So that becomes another heartache for the farmer.
Olymel says it's moving a substantial amount of its own pigs to be slaughtered at its U.S. operations so that there's more capacity for independent producers. A new pre-budget report from the House of Commons Finance Committee is recommending several measures directly related to agriculture, including sought-after tweaks to agri-stability and creation of an entirely new business risk management program. The multi-partisan committee heard testimony and received submissions from more than 800 groups and individuals. For the 2021 budget, members of parliament recommend the federal government restore agri-stability levels to previous levels, create a national labor strategy for agri-food, and develop a new business risk management program focused exclusively on climate change. The report recommends the 2021 budget improve the business risk program and agri-stability be reinstated at 85% of reference margins. Already, the governing Liberals have agreed to do just that, but it can't be accomplished without more support from prairie provinces. Late last year, Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau proposed dropping agri-stability's maximum reference margin and increasing the compensation rate from 70 to 80% retroactively for 2020 as well as for 2021 and 2022. That would offer producers a better chance of receiving support from the program and more money when they do, but it would come at an added cost to provincial and federal governments that jointly pay for it. The expected cost increases have made Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba hesitant to agree, despite pressure from producer groups, the federal government, and now a multi-partisan committee report. Development of Canada's food policy is taking a major step forward with the naming of a new advisory council featuring industry, academic, and government members tasked with guiding the policy. There are four pillars to the policy: helping Canadian communities access healthy food, making Canadian food the top choice at home and abroad, supporting food security in northern and indigenous communities, and reducing food waste. The new council is to report to Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau and bring together the expertise and diversity within the food system to address both the challenges of today and the future. In total, 23 members were announced for the council, which will meet virtually for the first time on March 4th. Its co-chairs will be Evan Fraser, director of the University of Guelph's Arel Food Institute, and Sylvie Cloutier, CEO of the organization in Quebec, which is a body representing food processors. CN and CP Rail supplied a combined 44% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 28, a decline from last week's 66%, reflecting a decline in performance on both CN and CP. CN's performance declined significantly from last week, with CN supplying only 31% of cars ordered for Week 28 on time. CP's performance also declined significantly week over week, supplying 60% of cars ordered as compared to 72% in the prior week. CN and CP combined will enter Week 29 with 2,564 outstanding cars, a net 5% decline of 144 from the 2,708 cars outstanding at the end of last week. The change in the outstanding car count represents a decline in the number of outstanding hopper cars on CN by 873 and an increase in the number of outstanding hopper cars on CP by 729. CN's outstanding order count is only 706 orders, despite not having supplied more than 3,000 cars ordered by shippers in Week 28 as a result of CN rationing orders and removing them from their order book, thus not being carried over to Week 29. And that's a look at the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's mainly cloudy and plus 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. The Canadian Federation of Independent Business is urging MPs to pass legislation exempting farm use of natural gas and propane from the carbon tax. CFIB Vice President of Agribusiness, Marilyn Braun-Polin, says farmers paid an estimated $14,000 in carbon taxes for the year ending last March 31st, when it was $20 a metric ton. The tax is scheduled to rise to $170 by 2030. Bron Poland says a private member's bill to exempt farm use of natural gas and propane is important when grain drying and heating barns is a necessity.
Well, you know, Bill C-206 is important because it's going to provide real and meaningful way to help farmers. We know the federal carbon tax currently exempts most gasoline and diesel fuels for on-farm use, but we know farmers are facing huge cost increases in the years ahead on natural gas and propane to dry grain or to heat their barns. And so we know certain exemptions already apply to greenhouses, so we believe that, you know, fully exempting all farms just makes it, this makes sense. You know, and I think when you look at it, you know, we can't forget the fact that, you know, our research shows that farmers, they estimated they paid about $14,000 in federal carbon taxes in the first year it applied to them. That was when the carbon tax was $20 per ton. But now the federal carbon tax is scheduled to rise to $170 per ton by 2030, and that's a 467% increase in 10 years. So these are numbers that are just going to make farmers less profitable, and that's why we need all MPs of all political parties to support Bill C-206.
The federal government seems to think farm use of propane and natural gas is minimal.
No, I mean, you look at the, we've heard about the massive, you know, from farmers that the massive carbon tax bills, you know, when they had to dry their grain through, you know, that harvest of 2019 that wouldn't end. But we also know that, you know, that farmers used, you know, grain drying and to make sure they had that high quality grain and so they don't have that moisture damage. And so, you know, I think the exemption on natural gas and propane for all farm operations just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think the last thing we should be doing is hiking taxes on small businesses or farmers right in the middle of a pandemic. And that's why CFIB has said very clearly that, you know, in the midst of one of the biggest economic crises for small businesses, increasing the cost of doing business is only going to further hamper their ability to compete, their ability to recover. And that's why we've said the government needs to repeal the federal carbon tax for the foreseeable future for small businesses and farmers. And so, you know, this is an important bill, and we certainly hope that the MPs will, of all parties, will support this bill. You know, it's a positive first step in addressing the unfairness of the carbon tax and the negative impact it has on farmers. So, you know, it's interesting, this bill is being introduced today, just a day before Canada's Agriculture Day, and that's interesting too. It's a big week to celebrate the importance of the ag sector in our national economy.
And you're suggesting everyone show support for Canada's Agriculture Day tomorrow?
Yeah, so there's a, you know, we know that the ag sector really has fared better than a lot of small businesses, and they can really play a leading role in our economic recovery. But what we need is we need to ensure we have a competitive regulatory and tax policy environment that's in place so that the industry can perform to its potential. So I think when you look at Canada's Ag Day, we're encouraging all Canadians to, you know, to really get involved. They can do things like, you know, shop local, support their restaurant or any small business, their local farm in their community. They can share that experience online. But also, you can raise a fork to the food that we love and the people who produce it. You can go to, you know, Ag More Than Ever website to do that. But I think Canada's Ag Day is a perfect opportunity to celebrate the farmers who work hard in the ag sector and produce that healthy food that we all depend on. And it's also an opportunity for MPs of all political parties to help farmers by quickly passing Bill C-206. So we hope that we can hear some good news this week. And, you know, we know that it's an important bill and one that, you know, I think when you look at it, farmers have told us they can't pass on these additional costs to their customers. And we certainly know they care about the environment and are doing a lot to care for the environment. But they are, given that they're price takers, the magnitude of these increases of the carbon tax is going to hamstring their ability not only to compete on the world stage, but it'll, you know, hamstring their ability to invest in their business and new technology as well. So we're hoping that this bill will get passed quickly and sent on to committee.
The CFIB points out the agriculture and agri-food industry employs 2.3 million Canadians and contributed over $143 billion to the country's economy in 2018. And Bron Poland also suggests showing support for farmers on Canada's Agriculture Day tomorrow. It's now 12:42 on GX on Agriculture.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April are trading at 123.22. That's down 45. June live cattle trading at 120.10, down 42. March feeder cattle trading at 139.45, up 32. April feeder cattle trading at 143.37, up 70. April lean hogs trading at 85.25, up 75. May lean hogs trading at 87.75, up 35. And that's the livestock market conditions. A study has been done on applying high rates of nitrogen to blackstrap dry beans. Effective inoculation can be difficult to achieve with dry beans. Therefore, many producers rely on fertilizer to supply the crop with its nitrogen requirements. eCentral Research Foundation research coordinator Mike Hall says this trial aimed to determine the optimal nitrogen fertilizer rate.
The trial was also conducted in 2020 at four AgriArm sites located all within the black soil zone. These were Melfort, Yorkton, Indian Head, and Redverse. You may ask, why are we trying to apply high rates of nitrogen to a legume crop? Why not just inoculate it? Well, it goes back to a study led by Gary Natowich with ICDC in 2019. We tried a number of inoculants and nothing worked. None of the plants really produced any nodules, or if they did, they were no better than the uninoculated check. It would appear that there are no reliable inoculants available for blackstrap dry beans. The limited number of acres and the potential varietal specificity of inoculants makes it very unappealing for companies to develop inoculants for this crop. In other regions, producers, they'll just apply nitrogen to dry beans when options for inoculants are lacking. But how much nitrogen should be applied to blackstrap dry beans in our region? Well, that was the question we set out to answer. The rates of nitrogen investigated were based on soil plus fertilizer nitrogen. The background level of soil in the unfertilized controls were 25 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at Indian Head and Yorkton, and 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at Melfort and Redverse. The 45 kilogram nitrogen per hectare rate was skipped at Melfort and Redverse because, well, the unfertilized control was already at 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. However, nitrogen rates were increased incrementally at all sites until 165 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare was reached. Here are the yield responses for blackstrap dry beans to increasing N fertility at all four locations. Apart from Redverse, which is the gray line at the top, yields were well below average due to drought at the remaining sites. At Yorkton, for example, the best yield was 800 kilograms per hectare. In contrast, Yorkton produced 2,000 kilograms per hectare the previous year. Despite the poor growing conditions, the beans were highly responsive to added nitrogen at three of the sites, with linear responses. These sites were Redverse, Yorkton, and Melfort. Beans at Indian Head were less responsive to added nitrogen, with yields peaking just after 75 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. It's probably unwise to make any conclusions regarding the optimum rate of nitrogen, as three of the sites had linear responses. However, the beans do appear quite responsive to added nitrogen, even during less than optimum growing conditions. We hope to receive funding for this project again in 2021. Looking at these results, perhaps we should increase the range of applied fertilizer. We didn't measure all the individual yield components, such as pods per plant or beans per pod. However, the yield increases were at least partly due to larger seeds. In this figure, you can see the 1,000 seed weight for each location is increasing with added nitrogen, albeit not necessarily in the same way.
That's Mike Hall with the eCentral Research Foundation here in Yorkton. He says the trial was led by Chris Holzopfel from the Indian Head Agricultural Research Foundation and supported by the ADOPT program. It's now 12:47 on GX on Agriculture, and we'll return right after this message. Welcome back, and Canada's Ag Day will be held tomorrow with a variety of virtual events across the country. One of them centers on the Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence near Clavette, Saskatchewan. Clinton Munchuk with Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan will host the program.
It's going to be a great opportunity to talk to some of the individuals who are working at the Livestock and Forage Center of Excellence, which is a division of the University of Saskatchewan. We're going to have a little bit of an overview with a video of them walking through the facility and then have some live Q&A with Lana Height and Dr. Colin Palmer, just going through some of the research that they're doing and the benefits to the cattle industry here in this province and the country. So it's going to be not only for those who are involved in agriculture and just want to know more about it, but a little bit broader too. We're looking at trying to have classrooms from across the province join in and have teachers take their classes and have a little bit of a learning experience as well. So we're trying to open it up and be as inclusive as possible for Canada's Ag Day.
Is there a lot of interest from the general public on how cattle are raised in cold weather?
You bet. It's interesting right now. Social media is one way that you can kind of see some of this, and ranchers and farmers are showing their care for their animals, like you said in that picture. But it goes even deeper than that. You know, some of the conversations that are happening around what are the animals eating, right? Like the conversation that I usually have with individuals is when we tell them that a lot of the ingredients that they're eating, the feed that they're eating, is not suitable for human consumption, their eyes pop open like, oh, wow, that's, I didn't know that. I guess that makes sense, right? They convert that forage or some of those feed grains into edible protein for humans, which makes sense. And just having that ability to have some of these events that are engaging and open to the public, I think is just, it's better for everybody. The more consumers know about how their food is produced, the better it is.
Does holding an annual National Agriculture Day catch the interest of the average Canadian?
I think it does, for sure. And when you think about it, if the whole agriculture industry is doing just a little bit on this day or being part of some of these different events that are taking place, you can see that the regular consumers that don't have the background of being on a farm or a ranch can see that on their social media or take part of it when they listen to the news and realize that, you know, agriculture is obviously a big part of not only our economy in this province, but, you know, society in general. When you think about it, it's kind of the backbone of how we became Canada with producing all this food, and now we're global competitors and in the marketplace. There's a sense of pride too for what we're doing, and consumers can see that and see the passion that farmers and ranchers have.
It's very important to note that many Canadians know absolutely nothing about agriculture.
It really does. And I've met a lot of people who, you know, I was the first farmer that they've ever spoken to in their life. And having some of these conversations, again, whether it's social media or being part of an event, it allows that information to get out there. And when they do have questions in the future, then they do go to Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan's website, or they do talk to that farmer that they've had contact with in the past on social media. And I think those are the connections that we need to build with consumers and make sure that there's that trust for food and how the food is being produced.
The video tour and question and answer session will run from 1 until 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. You can find it on the Farm and Food Care Saskatchewan Facebook or YouTube pages. It's now 12:52 on GX on Agriculture.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up in the nearby months this afternoon. May canola trading at $747.50, up $12 per metric ton. July canola trading at $715 per metric ton. That's up $11.30. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $6.36 per bushel, up 7.25 cents. May Kansas City wheat trading at $6.49.50. Up 11.25 cents. May Chicago wheat trading at $6.68.25, up 12.75 cents. May corn trading at $5.48.25, up 6.5 cents. May soybeans trading at $13.83.50, up 3.5 cents. May oats trading at $3.58.50, up 5 cents. And that's the Commodities Update.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association is gearing up for its first ever online auction. The fundraiser is usually held as part of the Stock Growers Annual General Meeting. Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic canceled last year's AGM, and the format of the 2021 event is very uncertain. Kelsey Elford is the president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association.
You know, our major fundraiser for the year is often our auction at our annual general meeting. And this was the best way for us to raise the money that we used to advocate for producers. And so we came up with the Riding for the Brand online auction.
How many items are available for people to take a look at?
There's about 75 items listed, and I'm already going to say that it's been a success. Even before we have the auction, you know, we approached different individuals and some approached us, showing the massive support for stock growers has been overwhelming and encouraging. You know, we have items all the way from fence and pliers to an African safari. So there's something for everybody in this auction, from Made in Saskatchewan leather goods to throw pillows to machinery credits. It's just been unbelievable, the support that we've had for the Riding for the Brand auction.
Tell me a little bit more about the African safari.
It's a trip for two. It takes you to South Africa. You know, so, you know, as an agricultural producer, you get to go see another part of the world where they're doing some different things. It's a seven-day hunt. It's with Namizan Safaris. It includes the meals, beverages, air transfers, your vehicles, everything is included. Caping, skinning, everything. It's a trip valued at $9,200. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Who's handling the auction for you?
We partner with DLMS, and if you have a current account with DLMS Auction Services, you can get logged in easily through them. It's under their Farmgate Timed Auctions. You can also access the site going through the Saskatchewan Stock Growers webpage. You just click on the link and it'll take you there. But you must be logged in to bid. The bidding starts at 10 a.m. on Tuesday the 23rd, and it ends at 7 p.m. on the 25th. So there's lots of time to get your bids in. It's a horse race style auction, which means, you know, you can put your bid in. You don't have to watch it the whole time. You can have your maximum reserve put in. But, you know, I encourage everybody to take the time to look at the items. There is something in this auction for absolutely everybody.
It looks like you have more trips besides the African safari.
That's right. We've got fishing trips. We've got some Rough Rider events. You know, if you want to host your own event, there's a couple of steak dinners for 20, 25 people that you can have. We have coolers for your vaccines. It's a broad spectrum. There's generators, there's barbecues, there's fridges, you know, a little bit of everything and for everybody. So if your budget isn't an African safari, don't hesitate. Just come and have a look and support the stock growers.
And chances are you can get a pretty good deal.
That's right. And keep in mind, these contributors have all generously given this stuff, and we thank them repeatedly for supporting the stock growers, and we encourage people to support us as they have.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Remind everybody of the start time. It starts February 23rd at 10 o'clock and ends February 25th at 7 o'clock. Thank you again for all the ones that donated for their support, and thank you for all of you that are going to have a look and bid to support the stock growers.
That's Kelsey Elford. He's the president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association. The Riding for the Brand online auction will open tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. sharp and close for bids at 7 o'clock sharp Thursday night. More information is available on the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association website. And, of course, we will have more on GX and Agriculture right after this. It's getting very close to 1 o'clock, and please don't forget that GX on Agriculture is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose GX on Agriculture. And yes, it's absolutely free. It's now 1 o'clock, and it's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a mix of sun and cloud, winds west-northwest at 25 to 50, and a high of plus 4. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a low of minus 7. For tomorrow, cloudy, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of 0. For Wednesday, cloudy with a 40% chance of early flurries, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of minus 3. For Thursday, partly sunny, a high of plus 2. And Friday, cloudy with a 50% chance of afternoon flurries, a high of minus 1, then falling throughout the day. In the Paw, it's plus 2 degrees. Swan River, Show Lake Russell, and Roblin all at plus 3. Dauphin and Brandon, plus 4. Regina, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, and Indian Head, plus 3. Hudson Bay, plus 4. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, plus 2. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, a west-northwest wind at 26, gusting to 39 kilometers an hour. 71% is the relative humidity. The temperature is plus 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.